Lord be with you. It's Jim Moore. It's good to be back with you. Been on this subject for a while. You shall know the truth. Got some more verses to cover with you today. We're kind of looking at this in verses that have been twisted, if you will. I'll use that word. That keep us at unrest, okay? Keep us from enjoying our salvation, okay? And here's one of the questions that maybe you've heard this in your Christian walk, that you only remain saved as long as you keep the faith. Okay, maybe you've heard this. We believe, well, Jesus did a wonderful work. Jesus did an amazing thing, but you have to keep it up or else. I kind of grew up in that style. You know, you've been saved by grace, but now it's up to you to keep it up or he'll get you. And I want to look at a couple of passages of scriptures today that people have used to twist and solidify these sort of things. Taking away our security in Christ, okay, because now if it's up to me, I don't have much security because I know me. And the first scripture is Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And I'll start in verse 21, just the last part of verse 21. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, where am I, Paul, have made a minister. You see the scary part here, and this is what was given to me so many times, the little word if, you know. Little word if. We see this word and we start quaking in our boots. Am I going to fulfill whatever's on the other side of this if? You hope it's something small on the other side of the if. It's not too demanding. You know, we say, I've got to keep up my end of the bargain or God just might get rid of me. He might ditch me, you know. Now notice first here in this verse, we're just kind of taking our time looking at this, that they have heard something. The gospel which ye have heard. They've heard something. They have heard something here. Something's been proclaimed to them. And Paul has been a minister of something to them. That's what he says right here. So Paul comes to this town of Colossae here and presents a message. He proclaims something and they hear something, but you know, and I know that it's possible to preach something and for them to hear something and then say, well, wasn't that nice? And then move along to the next message or the next Greek philosopher, to the next movement. This is what these people were doing a lot. You know, these, especially the Greeks, they would, okay, what's the next big move? Okay, and then we follow that one. Then here's something better, they would jump over and follow that one. And here's something they think's better, and they would jump over and follow that one. Same thing goes on today. You know, this preacher's coming to town, we need the next greatest revival and all this other stuff. So, something they've heard something, Paul's preached something. So, Paul is saying, you guys at Colossae, here, the hearers of this letter that I'm writing to you, continue in the same message that you heard. Continue in the same message that was proclaimed to you. continuing the same message that I ministered to you, because there are other options out there, and those other options don't lead to life. They lead to death. They lead to condemnation. They lead to unrest. Other options out there that don't lead to salvation. Okay? And it's like you had three different people. And one has heard 5 minutes of the gospel. One has heard 5 hours of the gospel, and another has heard 50 hours of the gospel. And let's imagine I've only had a certain amount of time with these three folks. Then I go home and I decide I've got to write these guys a letter. All three of them, one with 1 hour, the one with five minutes, 5 hours, 50 hours. I've got to write these guys a letter. I've got some advice for them, but I have to figure out what I'm going to say, because I look at them and they're all in different stages of life, if you will, different levels of exposure. We could say it that way. Different levels of exposure to the gospel. Because we got one with 5 minutes exposure, one with 5 hours exposure, one with 50 hours. They're all in different places here, different exposures of the gospel. So what do I say to them? I say, hey guys, continue listening and believing what you initially heard. They've got some continuing to do. But let's face it, I don't know if any of them are saved. When I write to a group of 100 people or 500 people or 1,000 people, I don't know them all by name, but I just know one thing. They need to continue in what they've heard. Okay? He says, I showed up in that city. I ministered the gospel. Some have already left it. Some are flirting with it. Some are riding the fence. Some have already received Christ. Others have no clue about the indwelling of Christ Jesus. So what do I say to these people? Continue in the message that I started with you. Don't be moved away from this gospel. Continue in it. Right? He's encouraging them. Don't be swept away over here into this other message in Galatians, this other gospel, which is not a gospel. Don't be swept away by that. Continue right here. Stay right here. So that's what Paul is saying to these people. The message that I started with you, continue, stay there. He's not saying that if you're sealed, you might become unsealed. He's not saying if you've been saved, you might become unsaved. He's not saying that if you've been raised and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you might be dragged back down to earthly places again. He's not saying that your inheritance, which is reserved for you in heaven, might be taken away. He's saying continue right there in this gospel. The hope of this gospel that I brought to you. Can you see what I'm talking about? See how we twist those scriptures around to bring unrest and say, it says right there, you gotta continue. We're stay with me here, because we're going to go around here and then come back. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's go to Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now here's another if. What are we going to do with these ifs? I mean, some people might have gotten a whole message. If you go back in the book of Acts in the early church, some of them are getting a partial message. Some are getting no message at all. Some are getting a mixed message. The same thing that goes on here today. You know, some are getting a mixed message. Some are getting the true message. Now, these apostles, they would roll into town, and when they would come to these places, it's like they come to these people, and it's like, hey, what have you heard so far? What's been preached to you so far? And one group, they come to these guys, and they say, we've heard all about John the Baptist. Well, you haven't heard much then. A guy living in the wilderness eating bugs, his whole message is stop sinning, won't you? I'll dunk you in water so you can associate with this repent from sin message. Same message that goes on a whole lot today. But there's no mention of Jesus, no mention of his cross, no mention of his resurrection, ascension, the giving of the Holy Spirit. No mention of Christ in you. You mean all you've heard about is John the Baptist? Well, sir, you're in need of a ton of information because you haven't understood the gospel yet. Okay, you haven't understood, you know, said of John the Baptist, he that's least in the kingdom is greater than he. Some have heard a piece of the gospel. Maybe they believe something, but it wasn't enough, and it didn't prompt them to call upon the name of the Lord for an indwelling so that new life would indwell them through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here, just like he did to the Colossians. Hold fast. I preached something to you guys. And if I'm going right to a church any place, I'm going to assume that half the people know the Lord. You know, I always think that when I go into these different places. Probably half the people know the Lord. Some are excited. Some come because they're excited about family values, conservative politics, Christian principles, safe place to raise their family. But they don't have Christ living in them. And many come and meet out and share in morals and, you know, good morals and good ethics, but they don't yet have a personal connection with Jesus. And that's what we're dealing with. And you know, that's real. As real as it was in Paul and him's day, it's that way now. That's why Paul is writing this to this Corinthian church. He's saying, brethren, when you go into this church, I want you to read this letter aloud. Now, the reason they did that is because 80% of the people back then couldn't read. And when you read this letter aloud, remember what I preached to you. Hold fast to the word that I preached to you. Some of you have gotten a piece of it, but you're still not in Christ. So hold fast to everything I taught. As a matter of fact, contained in this chapter is the matter of first importance of the gospel. He talks about Christ dying and then raising from the dead, and without the resurrection, they're still dead in their sins. And if they're dead in their sins, what's he say? Then you believed in vain. If they're still dead in their sin, then what? They don't have new life. Because we know Christ raised from the dead. And by that very thing, when we receive him, we receive new life. So to these people here, something went wrong in the believing process. Either they believed it was about clearing up their act, I guess, or believed it was about rule keeping, law keeping. But somewhere the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ got lost and they believed in vain. A lot of people today still the same way. They read, they got a hold of some little something, but they still believe they're in their sin. They're still trying to pay for sin. They're still trying to atone for sin. Still living in condemnation over sin and things of that nature. So that's the reason I wanted to address these things, because I want us to get this. God is not saying here, God is not telling us that we have to hold on for dear life here. He's What he's telling us is that he poured out his dear life, his precious blood into our hearts by faith. And we are held in the mighty hand of God. He's the one hanging on to us. I've heard so many people say, hang on to Jesus. Boy, if that's the case, we're all up the creek. Because let me tell you, he hangs on to us. You remember the parable, I go to it a lot, of the lost sheep. Remember how that sheep got back? He didn't read the Bible, didn't use the Bible as a roadmap. You've heard them old songs. Using my Bible for a roadmap. That's pitiful. I just call it like it is. The Bible's not a roadmap. Jesus is the way. Not the Bible is the way. Jesus is the way. And how did he get the lamb back? He goes down and joined himself to the lamb, put the lamb on his shoulders. The lamb didn't even take a step. The lamb was secure in the arms of Jesus, and he carried the lamb all the way back. And then had great rejoicing when they got it back. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to come down, the little lamb, I'm going to give you the Bible, here it is, your roadmap, see you later, find your way back. He didn't do that. He doesn't do that with us today. It's not God saying, hang on for dear life, hold on to Jesus as tight as you can. He's hanging on to us. Now, both of these passages that we read here in Colossians and Corinthians, they're challenging. And I don't think we should form a doctrine from the challenging passages. What we should do is look at the whole of Scripture, then come back to these challenging passages and say, well, Paul, what do you mean here? In light of these other 15 places where you talk about our security, what are you talking about here, Paul? And any good Bible teacher would say, let's look at the whole counsel of God. All these verses on our safety, all these verses on our security. Then in light of these promises, let's go back then and look at these difficult verses. So I want to now go and look at some of these verses that talk about our security. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in him, you also, after listening, now see, that has to happen. Remember in all the other verses we read, you've heard, you've listened, you've heard this message that I brought, and here Paul says again that listening has to happen. Faith comes by hearing. You gotta listen. He says, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, see, two things had to happen. You had to listen, then you had to believe. Not everybody's gotten that far. Some have listened, some and yet not believed. But then he goes on, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of His glory. I want to draw your attention to the sealing of the Holy Spirit. It's a seal. We went through that with that water bottle. Remember, we took the water and we, you know, a sink full of water, and we put, you know, baptism. We put the bottle completely submerged down into the water, and the water got into the bottle, but also the bottle was in the water. And then we took the lid and we took it back and we put it on there and we sealed it. Now, I can't seal this back, but now you've been sealed. So I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ, but He's also in me. You know, some people don't think that, well, you got to have another baptism, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, like this one here where Paul said you're complete in Him. We got to have something else added on to that. You see what I mean? They do everything to take away your security, do everything to take away your rest, everything to take away your peace. Try to take it away. But I want you to notice here, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, why do we have the Holy Spirit? I mean, many reasons. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's a guide into all truth. But here we're seeing the Holy Spirit is given as a pledge of our inheritance. That means our inheritance isn't going anywhere. It means our inheritance is rock solid. It's safe. I've heard this. I don't know. This just came in here. I've heard so many people, and I can't go down this road, but I use the word rock solid. You know, so many people are saying today, boy, our country's built on Christian principles this and all this other stuff. You know, I just want to say this. The church is not built on Christian principles. We are built on a firm foundation. We are built on the rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Not principles, a person named Jesus. Completely different. And America is not the new Israel. God deals with His church. I just want you to get a hold of that. And the church is secure and safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. So relax. Now, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise here. Now, this is not a little sprinkling here. You are complete in Him. Complete, that means where the fullness is right there. Yes, we're still waiting on the redemption of the purchased possession. We're still waiting on our new body. I don't have a new body yet. My hip still hurts. Okay? But we experience a good piece of that now, the indwelling of Christ Jesus right now. Now let me give you another one right here in Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not, boy, I got warned with this one a whole lot. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And in the same verse, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now remember, I said you sealed. You don't become unsealed. And you're in Christ. You don't come out. He's in you. He doesn't come out because you're sealed. Many rewrite this verse through our own religious mind. I know we've done this. I've done it. We rewrite this verse and we say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God or you'll lose everything. Don't tick God off or He'll leave you, He'll abandon you. Don't make God mad. Well, in Romans it says we have peace with God. Now, do you get that? We have peace with God. Get a hold of that. So the coronavirus is not the judgment of God. If the coronavirus was the judgment of God, then why are you wearing a mask? You think that's going to stop it? You think social distancing can stop the wrath of God? You think a vaccine can stop the wrath of God? Vitamin C can stop the wrath of God? Come on. We have peace with God. I'm talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ here. I want you to get a hold of this. It's over with. He done it. We have peace with God. He's not mad. But it says here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So a person who is grieving the Holy Spirit, here's what they're doing. They're saying, Holy Spirit, I know that you're working in me forgiveness and not bitterness. I know you're working in me love and not resentment. I know you're working in me all kinds of things related to your goodness and kindness. But heck with you, forget you. I'm doing this one my way. You know the old Frank Sinatra song, I'm going to do it my way. Forget you. I believe I can achieve my own goals. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to get revenge on those people that tick me off. I'm going to show my anger, my outrage, and manipulation. I don't need you here, Holy Spirit. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. I'm grieving the Holy Spirit at that point. And why is He grieved? Because He wants better for you. I mean, do you not want better for your kids? I mean, you know, my kids grieve me sometimes because I'm like, don't do that. Why? Because I want better for them. God wants better. The Holy Spirit wants better for you. He knows the desires that He has for you. Of goodness, of health, of life, of abundant life, of joy. And at that same time, notice in this verse, at that same time I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, yet it says I'm sealed, still sealed. I don't become unsealed until the day of redemption. So God is not putting a carrot out on a stick and saying, here's your salvation, come chase it. Do this, come chase it. You better hold fast, you better continue. You might make it, you might not. Slippery slope. Few there be, you know, we've heard all these things. Few there be. And I want you to know it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to sin, not the law. We went over that a lot last week. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The kindness of God. The same passage that says we don't grieve the Holy Spirit says we're sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. Now, yes, there could be loss of expression of Jesus, but you don't lose your salvation. I want you to get a hold of that. You're not losing your salvation. God is not a mafia-type drug lord up in the sky threatening us, making us pay him off for our debts to stay on his good side. You know, I sin, or I've got to go pay God off. I've got to go to church four times next week, like going to an AA meeting. Let me give you another verse here. Talk about our security. We went through these a couple of weeks ago, but I just want you to get this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, I want you to get that. My goodness, just let that. Continue there in that message right there. Continue in the hope of that gospel. If we are faithless, when we are faithless, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. What do you mean he can't deny himself? He won't deny you because he won't deny himself. Because he lives in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know you're the temple of the living God? And where did he dwell in the Old Testament? I'll meet you between the cherubims. In the most holy place. Well, guess what you are? You're the most holy place. Why? Because he dwells in you. He looks at you and he recognizes himself in you. And he never says no to himself. So he's not going to say no to you. So basically, what he's basically saying here is you are hidden with Christ in God. The perfect promise keeper swore by himself because he could swear by no other. And he lives in us, and he will not deny himself even when we are faithless. Now, let me go back to Romans here. Romans chapter 8. Verse 38. For I'm persuaded, I'm convinced, Paul says. So I'll ask you, I mean, Paul is convinced. Are you convinced that neither death, nor life, nor forgetting to read my Bible, nor lack of quiet time, or nor forgetting to attend church, or nor not witnessing enough, nor stepping on the dance floor, nor smoking a cigarette, nor chewing some tobacco, drinking a glass of wine, nor angels or principalities or things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, any created thing which includes you, because you're a created thing, will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I got to ask you, brothers and sisters, are you convinced? Or has the religious world convinced you that you need to measure yourself every day and see how you're doing? Are you convinced, or have you left the religion, let the religion of today come and knock on your heart's door and say, yeah, but. They put a yeah, but at the end of the gospel, yeah, Jesus did it all, Jesus did it all, and all to him I owe. Yeah, but if you don't do your part, he's done with you. He'll leave you. He'll forsake you. And we go down this slippery slope. Guys, he said, all that you've given me, I've lost none. I have lost none. Now, I'm about out of time, but I will say this. You can never be convinced of your salvation if it's about you, but if it's about Jesus' walk, Jesus' blood, his cross, his resurrection, then you can know for sure he has secured me. I'm not my own anchor. He is the anchor. Guys, I'm out of time. 30 minutes goes by quick. But I'll say this. Lord bless you all. And we'll see you next week. Love you.